In the meeting, this is Suzanne Lester, and this is the Public Financing Advisory Committee meeting of Thursday, September 9th, 1:32 p.m. At this point, I'll ask the clerk, Christine, if she would take a roll call.
Carlos Carney?
Present.
Wallace Rodecker?
Present.
John Moore?
Present.
Min Chai?
Present.
Tom Hammond?
Present, by phone.
Frank Kim? Sherry Friedenrich? And Frank Davies?
Present.
And before I turn it over to the chair, Carlos Carney, I would just like to, as a housekeeping note, remind everyone on the line that if you do need to step away for a moment from your phone, if you would please put us on mute. Do not put us on hold where there might be hold music that will disrupt the meeting. So I just want to get that reminder out there to everyone. And with that, I'll turn the meeting over to Carlos Carney, our chair of the Public Financing Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Suzanne. This is Carlos Carney, and the September 9th, 2021 Public Financing Advisory Committee of the County of Orange is hereby called to order. We've already done the roll call, so we'll go to the next item of business. The first item, number one, is item number two is the approval of minutes of the May 13th, 2021 meeting, which has been distributed in your packet. Are there any comments or any questions?
And Mr. Carney, Chair Carney, this is Sherry Friedenrich. I'm sorry, I just finished another meeting and I am on the line. I didn't want to interrupt, but when you ask for other comments, I am here. So I do apologize, and I am on the phone if that's okay.
Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that. So once again, the minutes of the May 13th, 2021 committee meeting was distributed in your packet. Are there any comments or any questions on
this? This is John Moore. Moved to approve.
Okay, the motion has been made to approve by John Moore. Is there a second?
And I'll second. This is Min Chai.
Min Chai is seconded. Can we have a vote by roll call?
Carlos Carney?
Aye. Approved.
Wallace Rodecker?
Approved.
John Moore?
Approved.
Min Chai?
Approved.
Tom Hammond?
Approved.
Okay, I believe that's everyone. So the minutes of the May 13th, 2021 Public Financing Advisory Committee are approved. Item number three on the agenda is the recommendation of this committee to the Board of Supervisors regarding the pension obligation bond. At this time, I will turn over the virtual podium to Finance Director Lester for the presentation.
Thank you.
And Chair Carney, this is Sherry Friedenrich, Treasurer Tax Collector. As I am a party to the bonds, the proposed issuance, I would like to step away literally a little. I mean, I'm not literally going to step away, but I'd like to step off the podium so that I can be available for any questions that the board may have. And as a non-voting member, I wouldn't, you know, be voting anyway, but certainly I would want you to know that my input is from the treasurers, not my position on PFAC. So I'm stepping to the side to take my other position, and I apologize for interrupting, but I wanted to make sure that you knew that I didn't want to make sure there's not a conflict of interest with that, me being up on the podium.
Thank you for raising that.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Once again, Public Finance Director Lester, the podium is yours.
Thank you. This is Suzanne Lester, County of Orange Public Finance Director. Today, Public Finance staff is requesting your committee to recommend to the Board of Supervisors approval in concept of the proposed issuance of short-term taxable pension obligation bonds in January 2022 to prepay the county's 2022-2023 employer pension obligation. We are also requesting the committee recommend the selection of Fieldman Rollapp and Associates as municipal advisor and Orrick Harrington and Sutcliffe as bond counsel. There are current contracts in place for both firms. And just to give you an update on the performance of OSERS for the year, the OSERS assumed rate of return is 7%. For the calendar year 2020, which OSERS operates on a calendar year, and I have to admit up front that I grabbed before I came down here my wrong year's speaker notes, so I don't, I have last year's speaker notes, so I don't have the exact numbers, but the 2020 actual calendar year returns were over 11%. Which is higher than the assumed rate of return of 7%. And then going to a fiscal year basis, which the county operates on, the July 2020 through June 2021 rate of return was, I believe, 26.2%. It was over 26%. So OSERS has had a very good year. Each year, the OSERS board considers allowing plan sponsors to prepay the annual employer pension obligation. On July 19th, 2021, the OSERS board approved allowing plan sponsors to prepay if paid by mid-January of 2022. And in return for the prepayment, would provide an early payment discount of 5.8%. The county treasurer tax collector has agreed to purchase the 2022 bonds as an investment. Placing the bonds with the treasurer reduces issuance costs of the transaction for the county. For example, last year's cost of issuance was about $80,000 versus the last time the county conducted a public sale was in 2016, and the cost of issuance was over $464,000. The 2020 POBs were paid off by the county in April of 2021. The 2021 POBs have had a July 30th, 2021 debt service payment of $121.2 million in principal and a little bit over $1 million in interest paid. There are October 2021, January 2022, and April 2022 debt service payments scheduled, and the county's on track to make those debt service payments. Public finance staff would plan to return to your committee at the scheduled PFAC meeting on December 2nd, 2021, with a detailed finance plan, maturity schedule, interest rate estimate, and county budget savings estimate. The Board of Supervisors is scheduled to consider this item at its September 28th, 2021 meeting. We have representatives from, we have the treasurer tax collector on the line, Fieldman Rollapp and Associates, and Orrick, Harrington, and Sutcliffe to address any questions you may have, as well as myself and staff. That concludes my presentation. And before we open it up for discussion, I just want to acknowledge that Michelle Aguirre has joined the meeting and is in attendance on behalf of Frank Kim as his alternate. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we heard the overview. Are there any questions or any comments?
Tom Hammond here.
Go ahead, Tom.
I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
This is a annual question. I guess it's directed to Ms. Friedenrich. Sherry, hello. Would you explain how and what the process is for negotiating the terms between the tax collector, treasurer's office, and the county to make sure it's arm's length? Can you tell me the process you go through? That we ask this question every year.
And did you ask me, Mr. Hammond, Sherry? I didn't quite catch that on the phone here. I want, or did you want Suzanne to start?
Well, I think Sherry, why don't you
yes.
start? That would be helpful.
Yes, no problem at all. We have separate counsel that represents the treasurer tax collector from public finance. So we start with having a separation of duties between, you know, the county, where the county splits into the two parts, those parts that are supporting the treasurer tax collector and those parts that are supporting the public finance. What we do is we meet with my staff, my director of investments, and his staff. We look at municipal bond yields, we look at POBs, we go into the market and identify what we believe would be a rate that we would purchase an investment, as we do with every single investment we purchase. So as we get close to the pricing date, obviously rates are, if they're not that volatile, may not change that much, and we have a good idea. And then what we do is we schedule a meeting with the public finance team and their consultants, and they provide input on what they believe a rate should be. We then provide our input on what we believe a rate should be, if there is any differences between that, because we are looking at a lot of the same data. We would then discuss each of those data points, and then we would make a decision, you know, to offer us to offer and for them to offer, for us to buy and for them to offer to us, and we then come to an agreement on that. So we do believe that is completely, there's no conflicts with it, because we have independent representation and we independently come up with what we believe the pricing should be. So if that at least answers part of it, Ms. Lester, if you wanted to maybe discuss any other items that you think would be appropriate for us, that would be great.
This is Suzanne Lester. Treasurer Friedenrich is exactly right. We're represented by different counsel. Sherry has investment and credit staff that do their due diligence and research independently. Fieldman Rollapp assists the county in that research. And as Treasurer Friedenrich mentioned, we're looking at a lot of the same data points out there. So when we come to the table, historically, we've always been very close. We just come about it independently, and there's just a little bit of negotiation until we come to an agreement, and that's about it.
If I can ask on that, let me just ask this real quick. Sherry or Suzanne, what yield did we achieve with that pricing as it pertains to the 2021-2022 instruments, bonds?
This is Suzanne Lester, Public Finance Director. So this past mm-hmm. January was the lowest rates I've ever seen. The true mm-hmm. interest cost, I think our estimate, and, you know, we always go with a conservative estimate, so we're managing expectations. I believe our estimate was 2%, but the true interest cost was slightly under 40 basis points. So 0.396980 was the true interest cost.
Okay. So the true interest cost is that column on your analysis there that answers the question I just asked. Okay. I cut somebody off. Who was it? Was that you, John?
I was just
waiting to see if Tom was done.
I just have one more question. Sherry, in the history of your department, the tax collector, buying these bonds, has there ever been a controversy or a conflict that's ever been raised about the pricing?
Thank you, Mr. Hammond, and through the chair, if I might. You know, we definitely have some good conversations, and I believe the pricing has evolved over the years. We usually use the municipal market a lot uses a Treasuries plus basis point. So there has been different methods that both sides have used independently coming together. So I do think we have actually good conversations. It's not like one side usually says this and the other says this. I think one of the keys that we need to look at is, as Ms. Lester mentioned, the bonds mature in a series. As she mentioned, I think there's one maturity come up in October, and then another one's coming up in April. So we actually look at the interest rates for each of the maturities separately. Of course, the overall interest rates are general, but we focus on those maturity dates. And we have been able to resolve, I think, all of the items that we have. Now, from the treasurer's perspective, I represent all the public funds, which is certainly the county's public funds. We have some voluntary pool participants, which are cities and agencies here in Orange County. Plus, I represent the public funds that we invest for the schools and the community college districts. So, you know, we do see every day in the market what those pricings are for the items that we purchase. Now, we do not regularly purchase municipal bonds because there are a lot of due diligence that goes into each municipal bond because you really have to understand the entity. And so here we, of course, follow the county very closely, so we feel very comfortable in knowing that the data we're looking at is accurate. We're not getting it through a third party. We have that here. But it is those tranches, and we look at each tranche separately, not just the total interest rate. And then when the consultants come up with a total blended interest cost, that they would have that. But we look at each purchase as being basically priced standing alone on that purchase basis, and we really don't look at prior tranches because each segment of that market could be priced differently. Sometimes the yield curve, you know, may flatten a little in, you know, that period, though these are so short it really doesn't have a lot of impact. But we do expect, certainly based on current interest rates, that it is going to be a lower rate and, you know, with that. So if that does help answer a little bit of the pricing also, I'm available for any additional questions.
Well, my question, just to reiterate, has anybody accused or brought an action or claimed unfairly fair pricing?
No. What we do is we disclose every month that we are purchasing a private placement. So we disclose that in our monthly report every month in our executive summary. We bring it up to our oversight committee, and to my knowledge, I have never had any of the voluntary pool participants, the county, the schools, ask even about those items. So we provide up front that information, and the information we have there discloses all of the facts about it. So there's not something that has come up in a lawsuit or any cases. Even, as I say, I don't even think, since we describe it so thoroughly, I don't believe we've even had any questions on it.
All right, thank you. I have one last question for Suzanne. Did you pick Feldman Oreck, or did you put out a request for a bid on these two?
This is Suzanne Lester. So we have a current contract. We do go out to bid for contracts, and they're generally, for example, the Fieldman is a 3-year contract with the option to renew for 2 1-year periods. So we're in year number 4 of that, and at the end of year 5, we'll go out to bid.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Carlos. That's all.
Okay. Got it. Is there somebody else that had a question?
Yes. It's John Moore. Other than Tom, who's been on the committee longer than I have, I think, Tom, you'll remember that I was questioning the discount rate when it dropped down from 7.25 to 5.8. Asking, you know, why. We really didn't get a satisfactory answer. And for the last 4 issues, it's been at 4.5, and now it's dramatically gone up to 5.8, which is a 28, almost 29% increase in the discount that we're getting. I'm just wondering, A, is the 5.8 a more fair discount rate, or were we not given the correct rate for the last 4 years? It should have been higher.
Well, this is Suzanne Lester. I'll start on that one, and then if Treasurer Friedenrich wants to add to that as a board member of the retirement system, you know, it used to be that the percent discount was the assumed rate of return, but during market periods where the rate of return that OSERS earned was less, we had a mismatch of the discount, and there is a true up, you know, each year of the contributions. So, you know, when they dropped it initially to 5.8%, you know, that gave the county pause. But we, you know, we are in agreement that the percent discount should be in line with rates of return, plus the timing of getting a large amount in the market, you know, on day one when we're, you know, sending over $484 million, it can't all be deployed on day one. And so the discount reflects some of that time it takes to deploy the funds through investments. Plus, you know, over a period of time, we've had different chief investment officers at OSERS that come with, you know, some varying recommendations and varying strategies that they recommend to the board of OSERS. I don't know if you have anything else to add to that, Treasurer Friedenrich.
Yes, Public Finance Officer Lester, thank you again. I think you stated it clearly. I'll just put it in a little different terms, but our conclusions are exactly the same, is that as you can see at one point back early in 2014-15, it wasn't the assumed rate, which was I thought it was a little less than that 7% at that point, but it was obviously 7.5. And then, as Ms. Lester mentioned, OSERS, there is volatility. We have a 7% is our current discount rate, and so we are looking at that on a long-term basis. We're not looking that we're going to make 7% every year. We don't expect to do that. We expect we're going to make 6.8, maybe 10%, maybe 4%, maybe 20%. So it does vary. Obviously, our goal is that stability of that 7%. So in 15-16, the board said, well, we get all the money in at once in January, and that means we aren't diversifying it through the market cycle, so it puts more risk on it if we give the discount at the same as the discount rate. I explained to them that there is a true-up at the end of the year, and so the county has still got to pay the amount that they owe for their contributions. This is just giving a discount, so whatever is earned is helping to offset, but the county still has to pay its obligations because that's not covered by anyone. And in this case, the pension plan covers several agencies around the county. There are a couple other cities that belong and a few other agencies that belong, and all of them participate. So if a large portion of them didn't participate, it is a pooled fund. It would have an impact that you might not treat those different agencies equally. But since everyone really participates, other than a few small departments that may not prepay for the county, it really has, in my mind, no effect. But you do get the money all at once. OSERS does have what we call an overlay program that we do invest those funds as if we were investing in the market on a short-term basis, and then we use those funds for capital calls or other purchases that we are making. So we don't actually put it into the final investment that day, but we put it into this overlay project. So if the market that day had a huge dive, it is possible it would be hard to recover from that on that year. However, because of the true-up, I believe that it still could be at the higher rate of the discount. But that has, you know, the board has continued to, as you could see, lower it to the 4.5, and then now they did build it back up to the 5.8, which I think is more appropriate. And so, you know, I do provide the same input to them. But I am a board of, it's a board of nine, and so I am one voice on the board, and I'm comfortable that certainly it is still something that, you know, from the county perspective, is good to have this percentage of discount. It would be nice to have a little more, but it certainly is good for them, and it does protect OSERS because it is a little bit lower than the rate, and, you know, the monies do come in, you know, really on one day. So if that helps explain the difference in the rates, but, you know, I do agree that it really is up to a little bit of the board to decide whether they want to raise it or not. And, again, going from 4.5 to 5.8 seems a little bit arbitrary because you could pick any number out there, and it's not – none of the numbers are perfect, but you do the true-up at the end of the year. So that concludes my comments, but I'm available for questions. Uh-huh.
Sherry, for the period of 2017-18 through 2020-2021, that we're all at 4.5%, in any of those years, was a true-up required by the county?
Every year there's a true-up required. So every year there's going to be a difference because the plan is not going to earn this much every year. It's going to earn a different amount. So every year there is a true-up that occurs, and what happens is if the county earned less than the rate of discount they gave us, then what would happen is the difference would be put onto the county's liability to pay back because the county is...
No, I understand. I understand that. Earlier somebody said that their rate of return was running 16 or 20-some-odd percent this year. My question was, on the years 2017 to 2021, was the return less than the discount that they issued to us?
It may have been in one of the years, but not all three. I'm sure that, you know, we have had some volatility, but it's certainly been over and under in the years when it was 4.5.
When it was under, was it materially under?
I believe we were at zero a few years ago. Does that ring a bell, Suzanne? It seems like we were just under zero. So, yes, I would call that, you know, probably materially under. And then I would say that in a couple of the years, we were at 10. So we have been on both sides of that 7%.
This is Suzanne Lester. I have a spreadsheet. I'm reading it on my phone.
Oh,
so
thank you.
bear with me. So and I'm looking at the year ended, the fiscal year. So OSERS operates on a calendar year, but the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2018. It was 7.9%. And then...
No true-up.
And then 6/30 of 2019, it was 6.28%.
No true-up.
And then 6/30 2020... was 1.64%, and then June 30th of 2021 was 26.22%.
Yeah. The point I'm making is it seems like the discount that we got in those previous years was smaller than it probably should have been, but that's my only comment.
Well, I'd like to follow up along that line of thinking, you know, the comparison of the discount rate versus the yield, actually the performance of the portfolio speaks to, from my way of thinking, speaks to the funding level of the pension obligations. And so my question, I guess, to Treasurer Friedenrich is that, you know, it was mentioned earlier that we had 2 years of strong double-digit performance of the portfolio. Can you give us an idea of whether that resulted in a higher level of the pension obligation liability being funded?
I'm trying to make sure I understand your question. So you're not asking about the funded status of the plan right
now.
No,
I am. That's what I'm asking. I'm sorry.
Okay, you're asking for the funded status of the plan. Well, right now we are in very good shape. I believe our actuarial rate is, which is a smoothed rate, is in the high 70s. And I believe our market rate, which basically doesn't, it just looks at the market value of assets divided by the liabilities, is above 80%. I don't have that information handy. I'm trying to think of the easiest place to get it here, but we have significantly this last year, has definitely had a very strong impact, you know, on our funded status. And one of the key items that the county has been doing is it is paying what used to be called the annual required contributions. It pays the amount in full every year, which is important for keeping that funded status up, whereas some we're not paying that annual required amount that the actuary recommends. The county is paying that. So, you know, of course, we do know that the markets are at really all-time highs. So does that mean in this next year there could be a dip? It certainly is very likely. And I think that's what OSERS is trying to prevent, is that if this next year if we were at 26.22 this year, is it possible that, you know, I know all of our performance measures are going to say that, you know, yes, we expect lower rates next year, probably maybe more likely, you know, below 5%. So it is a pendulum that goes back and forth. And, of course, our asset allocation is what's critical is, did we pick the right asset allocation to help stop us from those really low rates where we have losses? And, you know, how aggressive are we taking on the other side? We are still very, very conservative in terms of our volatility. So I don't believe that we will see the upside that other agencies have, because we are a little bit more conservative. We have a large tail risk investment in place, and that really protected us in last, you know, when COVID hit. We did not see the decrease in the market that a lot of other plans instantly saw. Now, of course, most of that has come back and gone above. So, you know, those people who might have sold out or changed allocations, we actually, in OSERS, in January, we changed our asset allocation to increase our equities portion. And, of course, it was the perfect time, because we actually were just ready to start buying in March. And, of course, what happened in March is that, you all remember, the market took a tank. And so we then were able to buy, which provided us some very good rates for this last year.
Okay. Any other questions?
I do. This is Min Chai. I just had a follow-up, and I understand that every year we go through a process of the true-up process. Do we ever get a follow-up report on the variance from year to year after we receive and review these reports on, you know, when it comes before us to recommend to the board, you know, the bond council and the financing team members, and as well as the presentation of the discount rates?
This is Suzanne Lester. Are you asking? I mean, we do get a true up amount report through the auditor controller each year. Was that the question, or was there?
But do we, as a board, as the PFAC board,
the committee,
do we get to review? Yeah, as a committee, do we get to see that from year to year?
I do not believe we've provided that in the past, but we can.
So through the chair, I'd like to request that we have that information included in the subsequent report, so that we can track from year to year what those true-up variances report.
That's an excellent point, and I'll accept that as a motion. So for the record, whoever's keeping the minutes, Min, could you just restate your motion?
Sure. From year to year on an annual basis, just to include a separate column that includes the true-up figures, so that we understand the performance from year to year.
Okay. The motion is recognized and duly noted. Is there a second?
And if I might just add, you know, we can take that as a staff direction. That doesn't have to have a vote attached to it. So
I didn't know that was an okay.
Yes.
If that's an alternative, then we don't have to be as official as I'm used to in some of my other.
Yes.
Good enough. So another column that adds, that's an excellent point, and it it captures some of the concern that was expressed earlier on, because there is this pendulum effect going back and forth. And so thank you, Min, for bringing that up.
Chair Carney, I have one other point too,
maybe after Suzanne speaks.
This is okay. Suzanne Lester.
Is this Treasurer Friedenreich?
Sure, I can go if you'd like. What I'm perhaps, again, it's just a suggestion, is that perhaps we put the rate of the OSRs through the fiscal year end for the county, and then perhaps another column that would have the amount, if the rate is below, that would get added to the liability of the county if that makes sense. But again, Ms. Lester would be the best one, because they get all of the data that's calculated. But that might help if we have the yields. Then I think this gets asked every year, and I appreciate the members, you know, asking about it. And I think it's a good idea to put that into the actual report too.
Okay.
And this is
Suzanne. Can you do it historically? Can you go back? Mm-hmm. Can you go back to 2014-15 with that information?
Yes. Might call on the auditor controller colleagues or from OSRS to provide some of that historical, but we can get that. And if I just might add, because it was a question that was asked and not answered, but we have the information about the last couple of years increasing the funded status of the retirement system. And based on the December 31st, 2020 valuation of OSRS, the funded status, market funded status, increased to 80.7%.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that. That information. If there's no other question, I do have one question for Treasurer Friedenreich. In the portfolio, the OSRS portfolio, what am I saying that right? Is it OSRS or OKRS?
OSRS.
Well,
you're OSRS, right.
And the pension portfolio, what percentage of that portfolio is fixed income?
I'd have to go back specifically. We have decreased the amount of fixed income because, of course, rates are low, but we do use it for our tail hedge. So we have some long treasuries that are there, plus some other, you know, balancing items. As I mentioned, we did change our asset allocation just this year that moved more dollars outside of our real assets and into equities. And it also included some movement on our fixed income, which includes credit also. It includes credit because that is a big portion for us, is doing credit with private equity or other firms. But yes, we did decrease it this last year, but of course it is still very low.
Okay. I didn't realize that. Okay. Any other questions? If not, we have we are asked to make a recommendation. So the floor is open to make a recommendation in concept to the Board of Supervisors. The proposed issuance of short-term taxable pension obligation bonds to prepay the county's fiscal year 2022-2023 pension obligation and selection of financing professional. That's all one request, and I'll accept as one motion, so the floor is open.
I'll motion to approve.
Can I state the name, please? So for Lois. Thank you. Duly noted. Motion is made. Is there a second?
I'll second, Tom Hammond.
Tom, thank you. Okay, the motion is made and seconded. So at this time, I'll ask for a roll call vote.
Carlos Carney?
Aye.
Wallace Rodecker?
Aye.
John Moore?
Aye.
Min Chai?
Aye.
And Tom Hammond?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. I should have clarified, although it's already mentioned in the agenda, that what we're doing today is in concept. We'll get the more fine-tuned information and numbers in the December committee meeting. Do I have that correct, Director Lester?
This is Suzanne Lester. Yep. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. All right, so the next item on the agenda, item number four, is the public finance status report, which specifically, as I understand, we're going to talk about an update to the county bylaws and how it affects this particular committee. So I'll turn the podium over to Director Lester.
And Chairman Carmi, if I might, I'd like to walk back on the podium because now my conflict is resolved to become a member of the sitting members up there, if that's okay.
Sure. Welcome back. We missed you.
And this is Suzanne Lester. At this time, moving on to the next agenda item, I would just like to let our consultants, Oryk and Fieldman, on the line that they can be excused at this time if they'd like. They're welcome to stay on and listen to the discussion of bylaws, but it's not necessary. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, again, this is Suzanne Lester, Public Finance Director. The status report is a verbal report, but yesterday I sent the committee members a bylaws template that was adopted by the Board of Supervisors on May 25th of 2021. This is a template in an effort at the request of the board to standardize the bylaws of dozens of board commissions and committees that the Board of Supervisors provides appointees to. So
So this isn't my fault?
I thought it was mine. I thought you were targeting me.
I thought it was mine.
Okay, go ahead.
No, this is Suzanne Lester. It's been having a current impact to Mr. Rodecker, who resides in the second district but is an appointee of the fourth district. And one of the new bylaw requirements is that a appointee reside in the district of the supervisor who appointed them unless they receive a waiver from the supervisor whose district the appointee resides in. So
I need a pardon.
Something like that. So
also affects me.
That's correct. So that will impact a couple of more of you as well. But I wanted to give you an opportunity to see the template. Public finance and me and my staff are working on analyzing the bylaws, converting them to the template, and then also identifying any concerns that we have with county council and working through those concerns to see if we have any options to waive any of the requirements, or if we must follow all of the requirements. And it's our expectation to bring back the bylaws to this committee in December of 2021 at the December meeting.
In the meantime,
Suzanne,
Wallace.
John Moore. I'm sorry, Tom.
I said it.
Suzanne,
in the meantime, Wallace.
I read over the 19 pages that you sent us. I think the one thing that it doesn't reflect on our committee is there has to be a need for financial background. It doesn't, you know, in Parks and Rec, you know, you should know about what lawns and flowers look like. But I think on this committee, you have to have some background in finance that you understand the dollars that we're dealing with and the impact. And it doesn't say that anywhere. So I think that may be one of the stones that we need to put in place to make sure that people appointed to this committee, in fact, either have an education in finance or accounting or investments or have worked in that field.
This is Suzanne Lester. If I might just give some feedback, that is not a requirement of the current bylaws, and that conversation has been had with the board in the past, and the response is that the board understands the requirements of the committee, but they do not want to be limited on their decision making ability to for an appointee.
So
I wouldn't be qualified. Does econ majors count? I majored in econ.
That's good. I like it. So, but you know, so let me ask. This is pretty fundamental or basic question, I guess. Suzanne, is that in the distribution of this draft to this committee and specifically to you, was the expectation that we give feedback as to any comments or concerns such as this, or it pretty much it's a notification is, here's what it is, make it work? I mean, you know, if you had to say it's one or the other, yeah. Somewhere in between is not an option, which is it more, you know, which is the, which is the correct understanding?
This is Suzanne Lester. Thank you for that question, Chair Carney.
Yeah.
I'm happy to take input on concerns, but at this point, this is an FYI and a directive from the
okay.
Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
So we don't see that we really have discretion. Our input when this item appeared on the agenda, our input was not requested, and we weren't able to influence the template. As probably the other dozens of committees as well were in the same boat.
Well, I would think that, like for instance, you have to have an architecture or an engineering degree if you're sitting in oversight over, you know, I don't know, building codes and all that type of stuff. So I can't imagine that I could serve on that committee and provide effective oversight. But that's just thinking out loud. I think somebody else had a question they wanted to raise.
Tom Hammond here.
Hey, Tom.
It occurs to me that doesn't seem to me like this is a big deal, because there's two options, I think. Wallace, you can move to another district, or get your local supervisor to sign a waiver. That shouldn't be a big deal, should it?
It's not a big deal, Tom. And Katrina called, and she did indicate that she was going to sign it. So
yeah.
Not a big deal. It just it was a surprise. My appointment got held up. I thought I pissed somebody off again. Basically a Tuesday.
Wallace, I serve in the same situation as you do. I live in District 2 and serve on District 1.
Wallace, which district do you actually live in?
2. I live in Fountain Valley.
2. Okay, got it.
Katrina's district, but she didn't seem to have a problem with it.
Okay.
So this,
yeah, because of that opportunity for a waiver, pragmatically, it's not a problem, it sounds like. So
now being qualified to serve on this board is another matter entirely. I'm not sure I'm qualified to serve lunch, much less on a board.
Come on.
So this is Suzanne Lester. It's our expectation when we bring this back in December, if there are any remaining concerns, we'll identify them to the committee.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think that the opportunity that's already provided for the supervisor to sign a waiver pretty much negates concerns that might otherwise exist or be valid. Any other comments or questions? Otherwise, I don't believe at this time, Suzanne, that the committee needs to take action on this particular agenda item.
That's correct. It's a status report.
Okay.
Suzanne, you'll seek the waivers for the necessary people?
What I will do is I will reach out. This is Suzanne Lester. I will reach out to each supervisor, chief of staff, and notify them or remind them of who their district appointee is and let them know if a waiver is needed, and that chief of staff will seek the waiver.
Thank you.
Got it. Okay. Proceeding along on the agenda, are there is there anybody in attendance there for public comment?
This is Suzanne Lester. I'm looking around the hearing room, and I see no members of the public requesting to be heard.
Okay.
Suzanne, it's John Moore. At our previous meeting, we asked about having that phone number put out so the public could participate. I think it's a matter of they're unaware that there is a phone number they can call, and you were going to look into that. Has anything been done?
This is Suzanne Lester. No, we haven't proceeded further with that.
Any committee comments? I'll offer one committee comment. So our next meeting, and I know I cover this later, is December 2nd. Would there be any objection to pretty much agreeing that we'll try to have this meeting, everybody attend in person, if that's not too out of line, a request for health reasons or whatever? I'm sorry, what was that?
I just said it depends on the level of virus.
Yeah. Well, you know, if it's gotten worse than it is now, then, you know, I'll take back the request. But does anybody, I think it would be, it's just more productive and so forth for us to gather together in person. But if there's an objection, you know, I won't press the issue, but I was just curious to know whether others feel kind of the same way, or we want to continue making the remote participation available.
This is Suzanne Lester. I just if Sherry Friedenrich is here, you know, and maybe, and Frank Davies, and maybe just out of curiosity, if the Treasury Oversight Committee or the Audit Oversight Committee, if they are meeting remotely or if they've gone back in person.
This is Sherry Friedenrich, Treasurer Tax Collector. Two comments. One is regarding the committees. We are in a little bit of the same boat because we don't even have enough public members for each district, but our bylaws are set by state law. So I'm not sure if we will be exempt or not because we don't have enough positions to actually have each of the board members fill. So it would require us to add more, which we may do, but we do have a majority of public members on our Treasury oversight. So just to give you some feedback on that. And then on the second item that you asked about, which is, and I just lost my mind, Suzanne, Ms. Lester.
Are you meeting you by asked phone about, in person?
Oh, meeting by phone, yes. We had met in July. We had planned to be in person, and we ended up meeting by virtual, but we are tentatively still planning to meet in October in person coming up, but we will see where things go. But we had planned in July, and we did make that change fairly close. And then in October, we are planning to meet in person, but it could change.
Okay. All right. So I'll just leave it at because I go ahead. Did somebody start to say something? Was that Wallace?
Yeah, this is Frank Davies. Our AOC meeting, which we had back in August, was virtual, and our next meeting in November, I believe, is still planned to be virtual as well. I also serve on the OCTA Taxpayer Oversight Committee as chair, and the way the meetings are arranged is more reflective on the OCTA board, but that has been virtual, and we plan to, I believe, continue virtual meetings through the end of the year. So I just wanted to, you know, provide that feedback.
Okay. Okay, appreciate that. So, you know, I guess from a preference standpoint, I'd feel a lot more comfortable about these virtual meetings if they were done like, you know, Zoom or one of those that's both voice and video. Just, again, it's a preference thing. But where I'll leave it, since I did raise it, and we can go on forever about preferences, and it really, where I'll leave it is I'll plan on being there in December. Everyone else is welcome to. But, you know, it wouldn't be appropriate to say it has to be in person or not. So,
well, this is Suzanne Lester.
That,
I was just gonna add that, you know, perhaps we can kind of follow, you know, where the virus is going, and we can see our options for perhaps Zoom. But I guess my recommendation would be, you know, since we have different individuals who might have different situations, is to through the end of the year anyway, let the individuals make their choice.
Yep, fair enough. Okay, let's see, that was there anything else on committee comments? Otherwise, the next meeting is Thursday, December 2nd. And the meeting is adjourned at 2:28. Thank you, everyone, for participating.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
And the booth can stop recording now. Thank you.